Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Call Waiting. It's me, Robin Shaw. So today's episode is the crazy things I've done for money. And I, Robin Shaw, have had so many jobs that I have so many things I could pick from. For those of you who follow me on Instagram, which I'm assuming a lot of you do, you know, even now I have the journal business. I'm doing podcasts. I'm going on a comedy tour. I do these Instagram ads. I put out ice cream in the park. Like, I'm always doing a million things. So it shouldn't be surprising that I've had a gajillion million jobs. I mean, everything from I've worked at the alumni building at college, where that's where you had to call people and ask for money, not for me, but for the school. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, they'd give you a script, and here, this would be the script that I'd have to go, "Hi, Mrs. Stevens. This is Robin," because, you know, they leave a blank for your name. Baby. "This is Robin. And I see you went to UConn from years. Da, 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 da. And we want to know, would you like to donate to the UConn blah, 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 blah?" And this was the most humiliating thing. One, because 90% of the people would just hang up on me. Then they would be like, the one or two people would be like, "Do you know how much money I paid on tuition and you want me to give more money?" And I have to be like, "Yeah, me too. That's why I'm working here, you know?" I remember one time I called this guy and I was like, "Oh, do you want to give money?" And he's like, "Do you know the UConn basketball team is playing right now?" And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, "You think it's appropriate to call me and ask for money?" And he's like scolding me. I'm like, I'm 17. Like, what do you want from me? But so anyway, I've done that. I was a camp counselor. I worked at a paint your own pottery store. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, those are just three, but I probably have had 50 jobs and I've been fired from 48. No, I'm kidding. I'm trying to think if I've ever been fired. I did work at a grocery store. I quit right before they fired me. So I don't think I've ever been fired. But the weirdest, craziest thing I ever did for money was my friend Kate. This is, again, also while I was in college. My friend Kate came and to me and a group of our friends and said, "I saw this ad where they need actors to pretend to be plane crash victims and hide in the woods so that EMTs, firemen, and policemen during their training can come and rescue you." And it was probably like $25, and we all said, "Yeah, we'll do it." So that morning, like really early, probably like 4:30 a.m., we went to the woods, and there was like a makeup artist who would put wounds on us, and they would say, "Okay, when you're found, say, complain about hard to breathe and you're cold. And for you, you have a broken leg and you can't see." Like, they gave us the symptoms we're supposed to tell. Or they'd say, you're passed out. As much as they try to wake you, do not open your eyes. Like, they gave us what is wrong with us. So then they placed us in the woods. The woods, ladies and gentlemen, okay? You have to remember, I'm from Long Island. We don't got woods, okay? So then they put me in the middle of the woods. They had me kind of like, there was a tree that had a little, what is it called when there's two branches that go off, how there's like a little divvy thing in it. They had me in that, right? And they're like, "Okay, close your eyes. And when someone finds you, tell them you're having trouble breathing." I'm like, great. Then they put my friend Rachel in the river. And this was in like the middle of winter, okay? They put her, this was not some SAG union acting job, okay? So they put us in the woods and I'm terrified. I think I'm going to be eaten by a goat or whatever is in the woods. Who the hell knows? And I'm like, just like, okay, please don't let there be a serial killer in the woods, please. Because another thing I knew about the woods was this is where all horror films, the it took place in the woods. You know, nothing good happens in the woods. Maybe camping, but I don't know. Do people camp in the woods? This is so bad. I know you guys are listening to me and I'm like, is this girl ever left her home? No, I don't. I don't go to the woods. So although there was this period of time during the pandemic, I kept saying I was going to sell all my stuff and get a van and go live in the woods. But then all my friends are like, you don't like bugs or cars. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. So anyway, so I'm in the woods and for hours I'm waiting to be found. This wasn't like I was found in 20 minutes. It's no, they placed us in the woods. Then all the firehouses and EMTs get an alert like, oh, there's a plane crash in the woods. So then they all go to the woods about an hour later and they start searching for us. But there was only about 10 of us actors in the woods, and it was big woods. So it took them hours to find us. You know, like a real search takes hours, sometimes days to find people. So even if it took days, they were going to leave me in that tree. So eventually I was found and they started like getting me out of the tree and they're like, are you okay? Can you talk to us? And I'm like, I can't breathe. They're like, okay, we got you. They put me on the gurney thing. They dropped me. Like, they had four people holding the gurney, and on one side, one asshole dropped me on the gurney. So they put me back on. They're like, does anything else hurt? And I'm like, yeah, now my shoulder hurts, but I wasn't acting because they just dropped me. So then they take me inside and they do all their stuff. Anyway, we're all found except for Rachel. Again, Rachel is in the river. They find her like 7 hours later. And then she had hypothermia for real, like actual hypothermia. And then they had to like take care of her. And it was such a disaster. But we did get our $25. So if you're asking me, Robin, will you do anything for money? Yep. Yes, I will. And that's why no matter what we hear today, there will be no judgment because, you know, sometimes you gotta do stuff for money. And some people want to be lawyers. Other people want to be a plane crash victim in the woods. And that's why, however you make your cash, as long as it's on the up and up, it's okay. Okay, we don't have security. We have someone much, much cuter today. Please welcome my friend Belinda.
Aw, thank you. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You're becoming a fan favorite here at Call Waiting.
Aw, thank you.
Well, at least amongst me.
Well, that's good.
And security, because he doesn't have to come in when you're
right, two fans.
Yeah. He's thrilled. Guys, why don't you leave a review under Apple or something and just say how wonderful Belinda is doing and that if security wants to take more time off, we always encourage that. No, even he always says when you're on the show, he'll listen to the episode and he'll go, Belinda did such a good job. Like, he's proud of you. Aww, when you do a good job.
Thanks, security. I have big shoes to fill.
Yeah, his feet are gross.
Mine are too.
Oh, that's right. You both have gross feet. Last time you were here, we talked about how you were going to put your feet on Feet Finder or like some feet.
Yeah, Feet Finder.
To make money. Oh, that's perfect right. For this episode. You should have talked about that on this episode.
I haven't done it yet, though.
I had someone message me asking if you actually did it.
I'm gearing up for it. Don't count me out yet.
I think I would do it, too. Because, you know, I'm selling these journals now.
Right, what's the difference?
What's the difference between journals and feet? I feel like I'd make more money on the feet.
Yeah, so let's do it together.
What's the weirdest thing you've done for money?
Marry Eric. No. Just kidding.
Hold on. Just kidding. I don't know how the public is going to take this.
Oh, no.
But I remember one time, this is, it's probably early 2020 or maybe before the pandemic, I think. I was on the phone with my dad and I was crying and I'm like, I'm not going to make it. Like, I'm so broke. Like, I'm barely holding on. He's like, no, you just keep doing what you're doing. You're paying your rent. Like, you're going to make it. You'll get your big break. And I'm like, but what's my backup plan? Like, I have no backup plan. He's like, yes, you do. You marry Frank. He wasn't joking. Like so you joke.
Not your backup plan. I joke. I love Eric.
But a two income home is better than a one income home.
Oh my God. Gotta love Ira.
As my accountant, he will say that having a second income in that house is not a bad thing.
But no, seriously. So like you, I have also had a lot of weird jobs that I did just because I wanted some extra cash. I remember in high school, I like I think it was like 14 or 15. I don't even know how this was legal. There was some like sketchy tanning salon on 14th Street. They had me walk around on the sidewalk wearing a sandwich board. You know, those like boards that go around you, like advertising for the tanning.
Oh my gosh.
They would pay me in cash.
I've seen those people.
That was me. That was me. And so that was a long time ago. I would say most recent. I haven't done anything that weird for money. Most recently, my thing is I sign up for focus groups.
Oh, I've heard about those.
And they pay well. They, yeah. You know, it's like an hour or two of your time, whatever. But whatever they are doing a focus group for, I've done it. They're like, oh, we're looking for...
They're like, are your balls saggy? Yeah, like, you're, yes, like, yes, my, yes, balls are very,
nobody's,
saggy.
Nobody's balls are saggier than mine. They're like, oh, do you smoke? I'm like, for you. You know, like, do you drive a Ford Fusion? I don't even know how to drive. I'm like, yep, I own six.
Belinda doesn't have her license. Why do I do know that? That joke,
but whatever,
land started.
It is that they are doing a focus group on, yeah. I will do it.
No, here's the thing. I think times are tough. Whatever you have to do, you got to work hard. You know, we joke about these journals, but I really do have like five jobs because I live in New York City and rent's expensive. And
yeah.
There's no shame. I really think there's no shame in working, whatever your job is.
No, you got to hustle out there.
Yeah.
Everyone just, you know, do what,
survive,
you got to do.
Survive, whatever,
exactly,
you have to do.
Exactly.
So today we're going to open up the lines. If anytime you ever want to call in and you want to know the topic, make sure you're following me on Instagram and TikTok at Robin Shaw Comic. I also just want to say a thank you. We're about to wrap up the tour. I want to thank you, everyone who's come to the shows. I felt so loved by you guys. I hope you had the best time. I had the best time. We have one more show. We have Town Hall in the New York Comedy Festival on this Sunday of November 5th. I'm so excited. I'm just so in awe of all of you guys and all the support and love. So I just want to say thank you. But again, if you want to know the topic, sorry, I got off topic. But if you want to know the topic every week, just make sure you follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Robin Shaw Comic. But I just want to say to all the calls we're about to hear, whatever you do, your job, just know if you're working hard, we respect it.
Amen.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
I'm really excited about our first call today because I actually reached out to her. Her name's Palmer Kelly, and I found her on TikTok a while ago. She's a sugar baby. Well, she's an actress, a writer, and she's also a sugar baby. That's how she makes her money. And I started watching her TikToks. I found her so fascinating and interesting because she talks very openly about being a sugar baby. She'll explain more what it is. It's pretty much dating older men with money. that's pretty much it. And I think it's a little bit more than just like paying for sex. I think they're paying for the experience of a girlfriend. I'm actually not sure. We'll talk to her about it. But she's just been so open. She talks about how sometimes it's a couple, sometimes it's just a man, sometimes they take her away. And this is how she makes her living. And I find her very fascinating and interesting. So I reached out to her and I'm like, I have this podcast where I talk to people on the phone. Can I call you? I'm doing an episode about crazy ways people make money. And she's like, yeah, sure. I don't even think she knows who I am. So like this, I'm just really excited, but her personality just seems so fun and warm and welcoming. Clearly, I mean, this is what she does. So let's give her a call, Belinda.
Okay, Robin, we have Palmer on the line.
Hi, Palmer.
Hi, what's up?
So I just told everyone how I found you on TikTok. I'm so in awe of you. I think you're so funny and you have such a great personality and you're so open about everything. I knew what a sugar baby was, but like I didn't know the lifestyle. And it's just been so fun to follow you.
Thank you. I know. I'm so happy that I've been like opening up people's minds to the narrative of sex work.
And I mean, TikTok hates you. They keep deleting your TikTok.
For sure. Yeah. I'm on like my fifth account. I'm actually fighting with TikTok right now because my account got hacked and they're like, well, we can't give it back to you if you don't know the original email that it was created with. And I'm like, I've created 75 TikTok accounts. I've created so many email addresses. I don't remember what email it is. Like, I'm like, oh, it's so infuriating.
No, but TikTok hates sex workers. I mean, they just like, it's, so you're not alone in that. I've seen so many sex workers just like, this is, I think you just can't say anything about sex, but I'm glad you do because that's how I found you. I was like, this is fun. But I found your old account and then you disappeared. And then I just recently found you again. And so then I reached out. So, okay. I have so many questions. I told everyone you're an actress and writer, but you make your living right now being a sugar baby.
Yes.
Okay. How, let's start with how does one break into this? How does one start?
I started in when I was living in New York City, and I actually was working at this underground strip club in New York City, which I don't know if it's a thing anymore because this was like in 2015 when I started doing this. And yeah, it was like this underground strip club, which was really just like, there was no pole, there was no stage. Everyone wore like normal clothes and cocktail dresses and heels and stuff. But there was like a lap dance area that was like behind this curtain. And so it was supposed to be more of like an upscale club, but they didn't consider them strippers. They were just like normal girls that you could then go dance with. It was really weird.
When people were getting the dances, were you naked?
Yeah, you were like in a thong.
Okay.
So yeah, that was like the lap dance area. And then it was just at a normal bar. So it was supposed to be like for guys that didn't want to go to a strip club and for girls that were just like normal, like so dumb. But after that, I like stopped working there because I don't know, like the boss got weird. The schedule was like weird. And I was like, maybe I just won't go back. And then I like regretted that decision. And I was like, oh my God, I was making so much money there. Like, what am I thinking? So then I went like back on Craigslist because that's where I found it. And I was like underground club, like trying to like search all these keywords. And I like couldn't find the description again. And I was like, fuck, I don't know how I'm ever going to be able to go back there because the location changed every week. So you couldn't just like go back to the place. So then I just started research. I was like, well, I'm really good. I was really good at that. Like I was really good at talking to guys and getting money from them and like being promiscuous and sexy and pretending to be their girlfriend for the night, whatever, like made a lot of money doing that. So like, what's the next step up being a sugar baby? So me and my friends literally were like in my room and we were just like researching like how to become a sugar baby. Like we literally just Googled it.
Yeah.
So we got to this website called Seeking Arrangements and we all like made an account on there. And then I just kind of like went off and continued doing it. They all kind of dropped off. They were like, I don't think we can do this. I'm like, no, I'm like weirdly good at this. Like, I think this is my calling.
Like you found your talent.
Yeah. So, and it was like cool too, because I think it was helpful that I was like, oh, I want to be an actor and a writer and I want to like make my dreams come true. Because then I feel like all the guys were like, oh, she's like, you know, we're going to help her like make this business and like fight for her dreams and stuff. Like, I feel like it was like, they were trying to, you know, save me out of this world, which I feel like is a very Captain Save a Ho is what we call them.
Okay. I don't want to project me onto you, but I always, cause I love going on first dates, right? I love it, love it, love it. And, but I'm an actress. And so I always think it's because I feel like I'm playing a part, you know, like I'm playing like the flirting and the sexiness, you know, that do you think part of you, the actress of you also enjoys it?
For sure. I mean, I think that's a big reason why, you know, some people say like, oh, I could never do that. And like, a lot of people can't be actors either. Like, it's a specific job for a specific type of person. And I think that, yeah, being an actor, like going into another role, going into another person, being uncomfortable with like what you're saying or what people are doing to you in a scene or something, you know, it's like you have to live in that uncomfortability so much as an actor. So I think that that helped a lot for me, definitely. And number two, I think that the idea of like being nude or, you know, having people like touch you like and be naked, I'm like, that to me just felt like I was doing a nude scene, like whatever, like this character, this is just a scene that I'm playing in
right.
at the club or on the date and like I'm getting paid for it at like an acting gig, like totally fine. Like it just did not, it wasn't like, oh no, my body's being used, because I felt that way so many times, like in acting class, you know, like you have to like go into your deepest traumas and your darkest things. Like I didn't come out of class being like, wow, I was just so abused and used. I was like, oh wow, I like learned stuff. And right. I'm like,
or I have left some drama classes where I'm like, oh, I just went through trauma in that class. Yeah. That was not appropriate. Exactly. Like that should have been for therapy, not for, you know, voice and speech class.
Exactly. Exactly. And also you paid probably a lot of money for that. Whereas like I'm getting paid to go on my dates.
So exactly. So since you're kind of like playing a role, do you ever actually like the guy? Like, are you ever out with a guy and go, oh, I'm feeling this vibe, or no, this is a business for you?
I think when I was doing it when I was younger, because I started doing it when I was like 19 years old. So when I was doing it when I was younger, I definitely think it was harder for me to have those boundaries because I was this like hopeless, like I'm this hopeless romantic person at heart. Like I'm an actor. I love movies. I love like romantic comedy. So there was always a part of me that wanted to just like date an older guy who wanted to take care of me. And like, that would be my life. So I think sometimes I would want that to be the case in the sugar baby relationships, but it was just always so messy. It was always so bad. The one guy I actually ended up dating was married and it was so horrible and like the worst experience of my life. And I think I was like 22, 23 when that happened. And then COVID happened. So I think after all that, I'm kind of just like jaded at this point, maybe, sick of like my feelings just being in the mess of like my business, that I'm really strict about like business and pleasure. So I think it comes with age and I think it comes with experience.
Now, for the people that are listening we've gone so far and there may be people who don't know what sugar baby means. How, like, if on a job description, if someone was like looking at a job site, how would you describe the job of a sugar baby?
Pretending to like a man in a dating sense. Like pretending to date a man and to like him and to stroke his ego and getting mutual benefits. Like he's getting his benefits and you're getting money. And that's pretty much it.
And it's funny because it's the way, from your TikToks, you always go, I'm giving the girlfriend experience, you know, because people are like, wait, is it just sex? And I think you have to understand from what I've picked up from you, again, all my education on this has come from your TikToks. You have been my schooling on this. But from what I pick up from, at least for you, it's the whole girlfriend experience, not necessarily just like you show up, you sleep with them, you leave. It's you go on vacations with them or you text with them or you go watch a movie with them or you go out to dinner with them, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I've like actually been talking about this a lot because I think there's such a nuance to being a sugar baby that's different from being like an escort or a hooker or just getting paid to hook up with someone for one night or whatever it is. Like, I think, and who knows, I could just be classifying this differently, but I think being a sugar baby kind of implies that like you have somewhat of a long-term arrangement, you're keeping in touch with these people, you are kind of dating them, quote unquote, but maybe in your mind, you have to be able to neglect like the feelings and all of that. They're like maybe involved in a relationship. So I do think being a sugar baby is like extremely more challenging than lots of other different kinds of sex work because it could be different for everyone. Like people could have a sugar daddy that's like super easy and he just gives you whatever you want. You like don't have to try that hard and like great for you. But I do think there's so much like there's this weird border of needing to get everything you want, like your money and your needs met, while also making them not feel like they're used for money.
Yeah, that would be like the hardest part. I even know in comedy, as a comedian, sometimes when people are like, oh, I want to hire you for a benefit for kids with cancer. And I'm like, okay, great. Here's my price. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like, we want you to perform for all these dogs that are being abused. And I'm like, okay, great. This is how much you have to pay me to show up. Yeah. So it's so hard. Do you have like a set price or do you have like a system of how you bring up money?
No, I also think that's a thing like being a sugar baby too is like I don't have a set price for everything. Like it's very intuitive for me, which is why I don't really try to like teach, like nothing on my page is really like teaching girls how to do it or like do what I do, because I think every client is so different. And that's why I think some people can be sugar babies and some people can't, because you have to just like intuitively know, like, is this person going to be mad if I just ask for this amount of money? Should I ask for it later? Am I going to get fucked over if I ask for it now or later? Like, I feel like so many people on my page are like, you need to tell them half up front or else you're not going on the trip. And he needs to mail you like a Visa gift card of like $500. I'm like, that is such a turnoff. He would literally immediately be like, ew, this girl's just trying to milk money out of me and I'm not fucking going on this trip. So it's just like so specific. And also a lot, there's some things for me where I just want to do them. Like I'm going to Europe with this guy who I'm still unclear of if he's a sugar daddy or not. And I'm like, whatever, I'll just ask him for $3,000. And I also get to go to Europe with a guy. And I like him. Like, I don't want to date him, but like, I like to be around him. So I think it would be fun to do an all expense paid trip to Europe and like not have to pay for anything. And everyone's like, this is your business. Like, you need to ask for the money. Like, don't get scammed, all this stuff. I'm like,
people will always give advice from the sidelines. It happens with me with my career all the time. Sure. You know, unless you're in it, people don't understand. You know, it's so easy to say what people should do. Unless you're doing it, you don't know.
Yeah. And I'm also like, okay, whatever. If I don't get the money and get to go on this trip, like, that's still fun for me. Like, that's still a cool life I get to live that I wouldn't get to live if I was like a normal, like having a normal job. So
Have you ever been scared? Like, have you ever like gone on a sugar baby date with someone like either you don't know or something like that? And it's been a scary situation, or is it usually positive?
No, which is like so problematic. I feel like I really just haven't had.
Okay. Knock on wood. And also if anyone's listening, you always have to be safe. She's in a great situation.
For sure. Yeah. I just have never had a scary thing. I've like, I felt off about people, but not in the sense that they're going to like murder me or they're like a cop or something. Like, I've definitely been like, I don't want to go on the date. He seems like he's just going to be a weirdo or he's going to try.
Wait,
to like,
is it illegal? You just said cop. Can you get in trouble?
If you're specifically saying, like, if he's specifically like, I want to have sex, how much is your rate? You know what I mean?
Right.
So there's like weird. Same.
That's what's so crazy, that you get like with the acting thing, you could be paid to be in a porn and have sex, but you can't be paid to have sex if it's not being filmed.
I know. Isn't that weird?
That's so, crazy.
It's so crazy and stupid. So yeah, you have to be like really careful with what you're, which is why the term like sugar baby came about, because I, in all my instances of being sugar baby, have always had a sexual relationship with my sugar daddy. So I think it is implied. So it's difficult when you're like talking about it, because I think some girls obviously don't want to have sex with their sugar daddy. So the sugar daddy wants to make sure, like, you know, am I going to get sex out of this? So it's like a weird, like teeter totter on like, how much can you really say? And like, am I really going to ask for a specific amount of money? Cause I think that that's, yeah, it's a weird thing.
It's a balance to make sure no one gets in trouble.
Yeah, make sure no one gets in trouble, and also make sure no one feels like put off.
Right,
like,
right.
I don't feel put off by him not offering a certain amount of money, because I have a good intuition that once we're there, he'll give me the money, or he's not going to feel put off about me not saying like, I'm going to fuck you. Like, I don't know. So it's just a weird, yeah.
So recently I went on a date with this guy and he had white stuff all around his mouth. Do you know what I'm talking about? When someone's mouth is dry. Yes. And I was just so grossed out. And at the end of the date, he definitely like went in to give me a kiss, and I like gave him a hug, you know, because I just like couldn't. My point is, are you ever like in a situation there, your sugar daddy, and you're there and like you have to sleep with them and you just are so grossed out?
Yes, that's definitely been a case for me, for sure.
So what do you do?
I don't know. I guess depending on the money, you just kind of power through.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I was saying it earlier that like in this episode, I've had a lot of jobs. You don't, a lot of jobs you don't want to do.
Right.
You power through.
For sure.
I mean, mine was at a paint your own pottery store, but it's like the same thing, you know?
It's definitely maybe not the best for your mental health, but I also feel like I've powered through like giving head or like giving a hand job to some guy I was on a date with because I just didn't know what to do.
Oh, and it totally. Was awkward, or like, it's their birthday. You're like, you know?
Yeah. Or like, you just are tired and don't want to have sex and you're like, fuck. So I'm like, whatever, if I'm making the money, like, I don't really care, but.
How is this type of line of work on your mental health?
I always tell girls to make sure they have a reason that they're doing it, because I think it can just be so hard if you're just trying to, like, make money. But I also think that you shouldn't be doing it like out of survival. I know a lot of girls do it like out of survival and then they're fucked and then they have to, you know, get with this guy because they don't have another way to like make rent, blah, blah, blah. Like that can be so draining on your mental health because then you're forced into situations that you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's like a weird, conversation I think you have to have with yourself about what you can and can't do, and don't do things just because it's a lot of money. Like, and I know that there is, will always be a sugar daddy out there for you.
Like even me,
I'm serious. Like there will always be something that clicks with you. Like whether you just want money for nudes or whether you just want to do FaceTimes or whether you just want to meet for lunch, or if you do want a long-term thing, like there's a plethora of things. Like you just have to be willing to, you have to be willing to try stuff out and to just like see what works and see what doesn't, and to take the time to actually like know your boundaries and know your needs. But yeah, it can, and to not start like too young, because I feel like that fucked me up when I was like really young and doing it and not really knowing what I wanted. And
yeah, I bet you that's such a big component. Like I feel like now sugar baby would definitely not be the career for me just because I can't stand like people, you know, I'm already social. I don't think that could be part of my job, but I do think like I have the mental strength now to do it versus when I was like 23, I wouldn't have the like confidence and strength to say no to things I didn't want to do back then. Yeah. I hooked up with like such losers because I just had no confidence, you know, and again, that was not getting paid. That was just because I had no self-esteem, you know? So I think like as you get older and you have more and more confidence, it probably is an easier on your mental health type job.
Yeah, I agree. That's a big one. Like being able to say no, because I feel like a lot of girls think that they have to say yes to things. I'm like, no.
Does your family know what you do?
Yeah, pretty much everyone in my family knows, like my sister, my mom, most of my like aunts and shit. I don't know about my dad. This is like always a weird subject. I mean, he has to know. Like there's no way he doesn't know, but we've never like talked about it.
I was living with my ex-boyfriend and my dad thought I was single. Like sometimes dads have a way of just not like acknowledging what their daughters are doing. So there's actually a good chance he thinks you're a teacher. So, and in a way you kind of are, you know. Today's episode though is crazy things we do for money. And although being a sugar baby is definitely an eccentric way, but what's like the craziest thing you've had to do, or you've not even had to, but that you've done for money?
Oh God. I mean, the first sugar daddy I ever had was like, I've told this story so many times, but it's still just so hilarious. It was a couple, it was him and his wife, and they were swingers and they didn't want to give me money, but were willing to like pay for my headshots and pay for like my website to like do all my acting stuff. And I was like, okay. So I was just like continuing to do it. And then they told me that they could take me backstage at SNL. And so I was like, oh my God, that would be such a dream come true. Like Saturday Night Live is my like ultimate goal ever. So then they told me that they wanted to, like, because they are swingers, they wanted to involve like other swinger couples. So I'm sitting here waiting to be taken backstage at SNL, just hoping one day they'll be like, oh, here's the date that we're going. I like ask about it all the time. Meanwhile, I'm having these like five-some orgies with these random swinger couples that they're like inviting over to their house. I'm just like, and they're literally all like, I don't know, 30s, 40s. I'm like 21 years old. Like, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? But yeah, and like every Saturday I would go there until finally they brought me backstage at SNL, and then I had to be like, okay, I'm done. Like,
well, at least you held out till you got to go.
Literally, I'm like, I didn't even make money. It was worth it. I would do it over again, but it was definitely a crazy experience. But I've had to do, I don't know, a lot of weird things for money. I've had to get on fucking plane, trains, and automobiles to go see guys before, when I was just like so broke. I'd be like, okay, I'll take an Uber to the train, to a bus, to go see you in Connecticut for like $1,000 because that's going to pay my rent. And I'm like, I don't know, we'd be in this like rinky dink fucking house in Connecticut. And I'd be like, oh my God, like what am I even doing?
Well, here? At least you're getting paid. I've done that for free. So
no, exactly. I know. I'm like, oh my God, so ridiculous.
Palmer, thank you so much for coming on Call Waiting. I really appreciate it. I know it was weird. I just like texted you out of the blue and I was like, hi, can you come on my podcast? I find your TikTok so, you're just so captivating. You're so honest. Oh, and if anyone wants to follow Palmer on TikTok, at least while this TikTok's up, again, you know, she keeps having trouble with accounts. But right now, if you want to follow her on TikTok, it's PalmerKelly. That's two Y's, Palmer Kelly. And Instagram is PalmerWeezy. Palmer, thank you so much. It was so nice talking to you and very informative. I felt I learned a lot.
Great. I'm so glad. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. I apologize, Belinda. I did not ask her about how you can sell your feet. I feel like she would have been the correct person.
She definitely
know.
Would have known. Damn
Isn't
it.
That whole lifestyle so interesting?
Yeah, she was fascinating.
Right?
And so open. And I
feel like before I started following her, I was pretty close-minded. And then as I like followed her more and more, I was like, oh, it really is very similar to certain acting jobs like that you what's the difference of having to be in the woods for 7 hours
for $25
or going on a date? Either way, you're pretending to be in a situation,
right?
That it was like very eye-opening on the whole lifestyle.
Totally.
My whole problem is kind of like I just don't want to date someone.
I know. Good for her for putting up with all these men and all these orgies and everything. Yeah.
As I'm like, I call her back. I'm like, what's that website? No, just the orgy one for SNL tickets. I don't want the orgy. I want the SNL tickets. All right, we have some time. Should we take a few calls?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's see some crazy things people have done for money.
Okay, Robin, we have Marie on the line.
Hi, Marie.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming on Call Waiting.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So tell us, what is the outrageous thing you have done for money?
Well, I didn't get the money, but what I did to try to get the money was I was 21, so a poor college student, and on the local radio station, this was in North Carolina, they have a slow wrestling competition every year, and the winner gets $1,000.
Wait, a what wrestling?
A coleslaw.
A coleslaw.
Like
the condiment, like, you know, the thing you put on like a hamburger or a hot dog or what?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, slow. You put, like the cabbage and the mayonnaise stuff.
Yes. Okay.
So it's like imagine a normal wrestling ring.
So that was in a ring, coleslaw, and two people wrestling it?
Yes, in a bikini.
Oh my God, I found my calling. Please tell me they still do this. Where do I sign up?
So I did look it up. So I did it in 2001, and I think the final year they've had it was in 2007, so I'm afraid you've missed it.
You know what, Marie? We're going to bring it back. Although I know the referee will be like, on your mark, good, set, go. And then I'll get distracted and just start eating. The other contestants going to be like,
No, you won't. It's absolutely horrible.
Okay, so you got it. So tell me how it went down with you.
Okay, so I, did I know anything about wrestling? No. Had I wrestled before? No. But was 100% sure I could win? Yes. So I signed up. And they emailed me and they said, it's all full now, but we'll put you on a reserve list. And so then I was like, ooh, maybe I dodged a bullet there. I might be fine. And then they called back the next day and they were like, oh, someone dropped out. Could you fill in? We see you tomorrow at 5:00. I was like, oh yeah, I'll be there. And so it was held at this nightclub. So I got there and I was sitting in the parking lot and there were like a lot of big women showing up.
Yeah.
And I'm tall, but I was quite skinny.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. I think one woman, I thought she was Mrs. Trenchbolt. And I said, oh no, this is bad. So I called my roommate and I was like, oh no, I think I've made a huge mistake. Like, I can't do this. I can't go in. I'm going to I don't think I'm going to come out here alive. And she was like, oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. Just go on in. I think she just wanted to see me make a fool of myself and take pictures.
I would encourage every one of my friends to do it.
Yes. Yeah, so she was, I was hoping for her to say, no, it's okay, Marie. Just come back home. And she was like, oh, no, get in there. You've already drove that far. Just go on in there. So I went in there. And then they match you up with somebody in your weight class, but there was nobody in my weight class. So the closest one was like 30 pounds heavier than me. And then we were the lightest people. And so we went out first. And it's like, so it's a big wrestling ring. And then there's like a foot of coleslaw. And so you walk out in your bikini, and there's loads of people there. I think the last one had like 3,000 people there, but I don't think there was that many when I did it. Maybe like 800.
Oh my God. It's still only 800. Okay.
I was just trying not to look. I was like, oh God, don't look at anyone. Just look at the slaw. Focus on the slaw. So then we get in, and it's just like so slippery. And then the other person, they're slippery, so you can't grab them, and you can barely stand up. So you're just like flying around. Coleslaw's flying everywhere. it's in my eyes. I can't see anything. And it felt like I was in there like 10 minutes. Yeah. And they blew the whistle. I think they were like 2-minute sessions. And I was like, whew. And so somebody ushered me like to the corner. Somebody was like toweling me off like I was Rocky, like wiping my face.
Yeah, you're wiping the mayo off your back, your forehead. Yeah. They're like, oh, wow, she's sweaty. Nope, that's mayo.
Yeah, and I was like, I can't see. And like dabbing my eyes because there was mayonnaise in them. And then they like shoved me back out there. I was like, oh no, I don't want to go again. And then the whole time I was thinking, oh my gosh, if I win this to get the $1,000, you have to wrestle 3 more times.
Oh my, so wait, you have to win 3 times to get the 1,000?
Yeah, so it's 4 rounds. And I thought I just had to win one. That's why I signed up. But no, you had to win like all, you had to win 4 in total, basically.
Did you win any?
No. I couldn't see again. So I was like, I can't go on any longer. So I just laid down in the
got
slaw.
A fork.
Yes, and admitted defeat. And then, so it was over finally.
Oh my
I got
God.
A t-shirt.
You got a t-shirt. So no money, but you got a t-shirt. You know what? That's payday for someone.
But they didn't even give us like showers to wash off in. I had to go in the parking lot outside and spray myself down with a hose.
You could have gotten money had people watched that. That's people would buy tickets for that.
Well, no, that's what people are like driving past and like beeping. It was so embarrassing.
God. This was hilarious. I have to say, out of everything I've heard today, this was the greatest thing what someone's done for money.
Maybe you should put it on the door.
I should put it on the door. My next goal to wrestle in coleslaw. Well, thank you so much for coming on Call Waiting. It was so nice talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, bye.
All right.
Do you know, in college, I was obsessed with going to people, let's wrestle.
Do you wrestle?
No, but I would drink a lot. And so there was this girl, same thing, because in college, junior, senior year, I was super thin. And there was this girl who was about double my size, but she wasn't like overweight. She was just mass. Like, do you know what I mean? She was like strong.
Dense.
And yes. And so we're at a party and I was like, let's wrestle. And she's like, Robin, no. I'm like, come on, let's wrestle. So she's like, okay. So everyone like made a circle and she picks me up, body slammed me, and then sat on my head. Oh. And so
are you allowed to do that in wrestling?
No, but she's not a wrestler either. And so then all you could see were like my little legs, like I was like the Wizard of Oz, the witch, you know, how the legs are just out of the house. Right. So then my friend Rebecca and Christina were like, oh, no, we can't let Robin go down like this. So then they ran out, had to lift this girl off to me. And then they slammed her on the ground. And I was just like laying there.
Those are good friends.
Yeah. Especially because I deserved it. Like I was the one who said, let's wrestle.
Why? Yeah. Why would you
I was
do
hoping
that?
They'd have coleslaw.
The close-up brings up a lot of questions.
I know. It's funny. There was actually almost too many questions that I didn't dive into it.
I know. I'm going to have to like process that one for a while.
I actually want us to host our own.
I love close-up.
I do too. All right, let's do another call.
Okay, Robin.
Yeah.
We have a special call. Security is on the line.
Security?
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Security. So, welcome to Call Waiting. Thank you for calling in.
Of course. I heard that the topic about jobs, weird jobs for money, so I thought I'd call.
Okay, what is the weirdest job you've had?
Well, I've had multiple because I work for my sister and... Okay, let's just first start with the first one. I have to answer calls on a podcast using a very complicated system that people go to school for and training for.
People don't know. So this is what happens when we open up the lines. We put the people at benches on our very first time here, put a computer in front of security, and they're like, people are going to call. This column is their number. They have a minute to leave a message of what their call's about. You're going to read it while Robin is talking to you, and then you're going to pick one, and then you're going to answer, tell them to wait 1 second, and then you're going to put them through. And security was like, I've never done this before. That's why if you ever called in and security drops your calls, it's because he's actually running the soundboard. We don't have someone. It's security.
And for Rob, that's just one of the many jobs.
What do you think is the craziest thing I've asked you to do?
I think it's to be a security when I've had no training at anywhere, just being a security.
Okay, fine. That's pretty weird.
I've also had to walk around Manhattan following my sister dressed up in weird costumes.
Filming. And then someone filmed you filming me as Kim Kardashian, and then Kim Kardashian posted you on her Instagram stories.
The most unflattering picture ever.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty bad. What else?
Well, also, I have to do tech, sound, video, and be a roadie for multiple comedy shows, again, with no training.
Guys, we show up at every comedy club. Now, at my live shows, if you haven't been, I show videos. There's music. There's lights. We go to each venue. Like, we've never been to the venue before. And then we put security in the sound booth. And within minutes, he has to learn their entire system and run all the tech for the shows. And if he messes up afterwards, I go, security, how did you miss that lighting cue?
Now, let's just say this. We still have, on November 5th, we have Town Hall, which is a huge theater in the middle of New York City, right in Times Square, that I have to learn an entire thing for.
Yeah, are you nervous about that? Because I'm not going to lie, I'm a little nervous. Guys, Town Hall is a huge Broadway theater. It's 1,500 seats. We have our first tech 1 hour before seating, okay? And again, and we're adding stuff that we've never done to any other shows.
I was just about to say, we're adding stuff that we've never done before in an hour.
If this calls you asking for a raise, the answer is no.
Oh, man.
All right. This was a great call. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you. I love listening to your show, Robin.
Do you listen?
Every Thursday.
No, I know you do.
On Thursdays, I listen.
I know, because usually I wake up to text from you and text from Belinda with your review of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. Goodbye.
Well, thank you.
Bye. He really does have to. I mean, that's so impressive.
I know. He does everything. Everything.
You know how all these celebrities, when they're getting canceled, a lot of times, like, their staff comes out and is like, so-and-so is an asshole or so-and-so is a bitch.
Yeah.
That comes out, since I only have one employee, we know who leaked it. We know who leaked it to the press. Well, I want to thank Palmer Kelly for coming on and talking to us today and to our other calls. I don't know. know if I should thank security. That sounds more like a complaint. Was he really calling in to say the weird things he did, or was he complaining?
I think that sounded like an HR complaint.
He's like calling into Betch's studio for HR, and I intercepted it. But really, thank you, everyone. If you ever want to call in, make sure you follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Robin Shaw Comic, and then you could find out the topic every week. So for our end segment today, Belinda, what do you have for us?
Okay, so this is like bringing us back to our childhood. Me and my girlfriends used to play this game called Lemon. Do you know what this is?
Yes.
Okay, great. So for the listeners, if you don't know, Lemon is a game where you list four girls, four guys, four body parts, and four things you can do with a lemon. And then you give me a bunch of numbers and we put it all together and see who's doing who, doing what to what body part with them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I mean, it makes sense to me because I know the game. So again, so I'm going to list four girls, four guys, four body parts, four things, lemon. And then she's going to say, like, give an order 1 to 4. And let's say I say 1, 2, 3, 4. On the list of guys, she'll put 1, 2, 3, 4. And then she'll say, give me a list of 1 to 4 again. And I'll go 4, 3, 2, 1. And she'll put 4, 3, 2, 1 next to the girls. And then wherever the 1, 1, 1, 1 is, she'll make a love story out
right.
of.
Right. I feel like you said that so much better than I did.
I mean, I'm a professional. Right. This is my job. Okay.
All right. So I got to take some notes. So first, I'm going to write down, give me four girls.
Four girls. Robin, Belinda, Oprah. Guys, welcome Oprah. She's here tonight. Oprah and Snooki.
Oh, okay. All right. Now give me four guys.
Fabio.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't know who Fabio is. He was he did like the covers to romance novels back in the 80s and 90s. He was
and
a model.
Robin has about 10 cutouts of him, cardboard cutouts in her closet.
Do you know, I don't know why. Like, I don't know where the first one came from, but it's here or there. Okay, Fabio, Frank.
Okay.
Danny DeVito, Tom Hanks.
Okay, good. Now give me four body parts.
Penis, boobs, elbow, foot.
Okay. And now last, four things you can do with or to a lemon.
Okay. Squeeze a lemon, lick a lemon, suck a lemon, bounce a lemon.
Okay. Do lemons bounce?
I like okay, that. Sure. Bounce and flop a lemon.
Okay. All right. So now the first set, give me a random order of numbers 1 through 4.
So again, I'm going to give her an order and then she's going to put that order next to whatever the girls or whatever. Okay. So 2, 3, 1, 4.
Okay. Now do the same again for the guys.
3, 1, 2, 4.
Okay. Now for the body parts.
2, 1, 4, 3.
And now for the things to do with a lemon.
1, 4, 3, 2.
Okay. So now I'm going to do
read
all the
these
ones.
Love stories.
Okay, these are love
stories.
Should
we have romantic music playing underneath?
Yeah. What song do you want?
I don't know. I don't know. Someone in post. Give us some romantic
some,
tune.
Some like smooth jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom, okay. Chicka, boom, boom.
Okay. Robin, Oprah, and Frank.
Wait, hold on.
What?
Wait. Oh, Oprah and Frank.
Yeah. Are you confused?
I forgot what we were playing. I'm like, what
these
about
are the
Oprah
love
Frank?
Stories
okay.
we created.
All right, so Oprah and Frank.
Oprah and Frank went on a lovely date, and Frank squeezed Oprah's boobs. I'm sorry, Oprah.
I'm sorry, Frank. I don't think either consented to this.
Okay, well, it didn't work out, but they had a lovely evening.
Okay.
Okay. Robin.
Yeah.
Ooh, you bounced Danny DeVito's penis.
Bounced and flopped.
Bounced and flopped. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. You bounced and flopped Danny DeVito's penis.
That is so something I would do.
That is so vivid.
I have no clue what to do with a penis.
Like, bounce and flop, baby. Bounce and flop.
Bounce and flop.
Damn. That might be the best one. All right, let's see. Okay, next. Ooh, Belinda sucked Fabio's feet.
Unless you're into that, then that's great.
Yeah, then that's great. But also interesting that I got the feet
interesting
one.
You got, why don't we do it that he sucked your feet?
Oh, he sucked. And we got paid
and
for it.
And you're the sugar baby.
And it was on Feet Finder, and we both made a lot of money from
full
it.
Full circle.
Love it. Love it.
And in conclusion.
And in conclusion, Tom Hanks licked Snooki's elbow.
Brilliant game.
Amazing game.
Thank you, Belinda, so much for coming on Call Waiting.
My pleasure. I love to be here.
I would like to also thank our guest, Palmer, Kelly, and our calls today, minus security. But if you ever want to find out, you know, what topic is, make sure you follow me on Instagram. I love talking to you guys. This podcast makes me so happy. And thank you again, everyone who's come out to the shows on tour. I have another tour getting planned as we speak for 2024. So get excited, and I will see you New Yorkers on Sunday. This is very exciting. Look in the balcony. You'll see Belinda
yes,
there.
Yes, I can't wait.
Look in the sound booth. You'll see security. All right, guys. Oh, we have another call.
Call Waiting is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Picot. Editing by Basilio Perez and Jorge Morales Picot. Guest booking by Ali Freelander. Be sure to follow me at Robin Shaw Comic on Instagram and TikTok to find out our next topic and learn when to call each week. And give me a ring at 720-72-ROBIN. That's 720-727-6296.
Betches.